This is an audio recording of the North Hewish Parish Council meeting on Tuesday, the 7th of June, 2022.
Very good. I think everybody's here that needs to be here. So, obviously, start off at 11 o'clock. I'd like to welcome members of the public, which is a rare and welcome addition. Just to kick off, I'd just like to make a mention, if I may, of the Platinum Jubilee event on Friday, which I think was a great success. It was enjoyed by quite a lot of people in the parish. Up to the 200 people came. I think everybody enjoyed it. And so I think it might be worth registering congratulations to the organising committee.
I think Tristram in particular.
Exactly, yeah.
His team.
One of many.
He instigated it. Who
would have benefited greatly from
the
night
Taylor?
So I just thought it might be worth registering that because I think it was very successful. Nice to see, parishioners getting together.
Very good. And we had a really good celebration here on Sunday.
Excellent.
For the community. Hence the wonderful flowers.
Yes. So I think that was...
Well, the small committee of people that put together the Avon Week event, obviously owe a great deal of thanks to a lot of people who helped with that, including, of course, Councillor Gabriel, who kindly judged the dog show for us, and Councillor Stair, who sorted out our parking for us, and Councillor Singleberry, who provided the opening for our initial kickoff meeting as well. And also Councillor Luscombe for helping out with the Tipford programme, which was extremely helpful.
I think we've done very well for that.
Yeah, and a large number of people as well have participated.
So, as we're not open forum, I invite anybody from the public or anywhere else who's got any issues spring up. For those that don't know, members of the public are more than welcome to raise their concerns, etc. At this stage, once we go into the council meeting proper, you're very welcome to stay, but not to contribute at that stage. So open forum is your bit. So I invite anybody that has anything. Councillor Steve.
Chairman, the biggest issue that I've brought up to me is the fact that these traffic lights up at the... perhaps it should be brought up on the highways, but I think it's been a village issue.
They've gone.
Parishioner issue. The fact that the work was done last Friday, the traffic lights said they were due yesterday afternoon.
Okay.
People are wondering if the taxpayer's paying the bill or if the insurers of the car that went over the edge of the road are paying the bill. But surely it's not right, is it?
Can we bring that up to highways?
Well, we could do, but I think that it's been brought up to me several times. People are fed up with it. And I can see why.
Yeah. I think maybe we should investigate, get in touch with highways and see who picked up the tab and why it took so long, really.
And they haven't got rid of the fencing. Yeah, it's just the outside of the fence. Yeah, the red
temporary fencing is the other side, so it's out of the way. But certainly unsightly. Whether or not it took so long because it was an insurance thing to sort out, I don't know. But it's worth finding out.
But it would be interesting to know who was picking up the bill.
Fine. Can we do that? Thanks so much. At least the damn thing is gone.
I'd just like to report that I've reported the knotweed that's going along the Brent Road and put it on the Devon Wildlife site. I don't know what will happen, but they have asked us to do that.
Okay, fine.
Could I just say something about the Butterford application that you're going to be discussing?
Mm-hmm.
That basically, if the applicants had actually not misinformed the council, we almost certainly wouldn't be here to actually discuss whether or not they should have a track, because the council would have been required to advertise it had they known that it could be actually seen from publicly visible viewpoints, in which case people would have actually informed the planning officers that there had been no track there historically. The latest application, again, is riddled with misstatements or inaccuracies.
Mm-hmm.
And I really don't think that any application should be passed or approved if the applicants can't actually tell the truth.
Oh. I mean, thank you for your circulating your
objections,
certainly. I mean, we've seen those. As it's under an enforcement action, We can't discuss it in the council, as you know. We will probably have part two right at the end, and then, you know, we can kick it around amongst ourselves, but it can't be in the public domain, as you understand. But I mean, obviously, we've got a lot of the information from your side. I think we've got to draw our own conclusions, and the fact that it's a subject of an enforcement, I think, in a sense, goes down the same route.
Have enforcement not actually stopped now because they've actually put in a retrospective application? So, sorry.
The council gave all that enforcement has been overtaken.
Has it? Okay.
We have a planning application which we're due to discuss.
Okay, well, then in that case, we will discuss it when we get to planning.
Been suspended at this moment.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much indeed.
Well, that's good, because at least we can say something.
Could I just build on that? You know, I think this application is economical and true in various respects. In terms of pedestrian vehicle access, in the questionnaire it says is a new or altered vehicular access proposed to or from the public highway. The answer is no, and yet those of you who are familiar with the site know that the access has been very significantly widened. But similar issues with trees and hedges, similar issues with the assessment of flood risk in the application. The question is asked, is your proposal within 20 metres of a water course? The answer is no. That is not the case. It's extremely close to the River Avon, and in a part of the River Avon where the road floods very recently. So it goes on. The main concern is with the track, and in the planning statement for that prior approval application, it said the site for the building has been chosen to serve this 22-acre block of land, as it is in a level corner of the field, with an access track leading directly to it, with access to the home of the site. And we know, not just talking to people who are familiar with the area, that track never existed. If you look at the Google Earth maps from 1999 through to 2021, it is absolutely crystal clear that no such track existed. However, an 800-metre long track was commenced prior to enforcement action being taken. And so I think we're in the bizarre situation where the track, which did not exist, was used to justify the location of the barn 800 metres away from the entrance of the field. And now the location of the barn, which has prior approval, is now being used to justify this new access track, which is an extraordinary perverse symmetry of logic which underpins this application. I think it makes a complete mockery of the planning process.
Well, I think table you set out, the South Adams Society thing that we've all received now, I think made the point quite eloquently. Hopefully that will carry the amount of weight that it should, but it's obviously not for me to say myself, but I mean we will discuss it when we get to planning. As I say, I must admit I didn't realise that things have gone all around in a big circle and started again, but we can at least discuss it when we get to planning.
Very good. Can I say something as well? Fiona Anderson, I'm right beside the site. So the track goes along the bottom of the field, then it comes up the very steep hill directly to the bottom of my garden. It's very wide. Provision has been made right at the bottom of my garden, which is 2 metres away from the track for vehicles to turn. So we're talking about diggers, tractors and so on, and it'll then continue on up the hill, not such a steep hill, to the side of the barn. Now the side of the barn is 200 metres from my house, and the track itself is 25 metres from my house. Now I was there when the track was being dug in December and January. The noise was very, very loud. I think we need to consider that the barn is a lot bigger than is required for the machinery he claims he wants to put in the barn. So there are other things going to be coming up and down the track
other diggers, tractors and noisy machinery. Because the vehicles are going uphill to get to the bottom of my garden, they're changing gear all the time. They'll be changing, you know, down or up, whether they're going downhill or uphill, and then they have to turn 2 metres from the bottom of my garden. Now, that impacts me enormously because of the noise and disturbance. It also ruins the business that I've got next door, which is my holiday cottage, which is the annex to my house, which I have let for 20 years extremely successfully from Easter to October, every year, except the big coronavirus year. When was it? The year before last. And so my business has been ruined so far because I've not known since the beginning of the year when the work is going to start up again or anything like that. So if you look at my website, you will see I put at the top, the cottage is not available for letting at the moment. I hope the situation will be resolved. Now, I understand it is a policy of the local council, together with South West Devon and Plymouth, that holiday cottage businesses should not be damaged, or in my case, ruined, by development. I also want to point out that for 20 years I have been turning my site into a nature reserve. Because of that, it's a county wildlife site now, which is a designated site by the Devon Wildlife Trust. It has got all sorts of things going on in there, rare mammals, lots of rare bats. They fly up and down the flyway from Gara Bridge, you know, the greater horseshoe bat roost that to Gara Bridge, up onto the meadows where they forage. This is all being recorded by the Devon Wildlife Trust Greater Horseshoe Bat Project. And all that will be lost because these animals and all the birds, I've got an extensive list of birds, they're not able to tolerate the kind of disturbance that I think will happen if this planning application goes ahead.
Presumably, you know, to make a representation to the appropriate authority.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I'm going to put in a strong objection, as also will I hope the Devon Wildlife Trust, because they're very concerned about it, obviously.
Do we know the timeline on this? I mean, obviously, if there's a new application...
There's three applications gone in to do with it. One has to be commented on by the 23rd of June, and two others by the 30th of June.
I think you'll find that the other two, I know it's confusing.
Yeah, that's...
They relate to Butterford, but it's not that Butterford.
It's not that Butterford.
It's another Butterford.
That's the...
There's Butterford and Butterford, which makes sense.
Yeah.
But that's all 23rd. Well, that gives us obviously opportunity, you know, so we can make our own representations along with yours.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything else you can open for? Okay. So we can crack on. I don't think there are any absences.
Peter.
Councillor Spurling. Okay. What about Councillor Pennell? Is he?
Councillor Pennell is currently chairman at Scoriton at Buckfastley West.
Okay.
And he will be with you. I have been there already and left, so he's probably actually on.
So basically, you drive faster?
Well, he was still speaking when I left.
Okay.
But I also drive faster.
Okay, thank you. Declarations of interest. Okay. Previous minutes. Can we agree that the minutes of the meeting 3rd of May are a true representation of Councillor Hunt and Councillor Bell? Thank you very much. Matters arising therefrom.
views on the Cobley Way plans for repair of the Cobley Way?
Not at this stage, although you are fully aware that we have his feet to the fire, as it were, on the timescales.
Anything else arising? I see we've got somewhere on here progress on the notice boards, which is was mentioned last time. Highways things, I think a lot of those are ongoing. Is there anything else that
it was reported to me that the North Fury notice board had been removed, I take it. That's Councillor Gravatt's done so, yeah, that's fine.
Thank you.
And the other thing was the tree.
Oh, the tree out here.
For the church.
Plant a tree from Jubilee.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I can report on that. So I've looked into it. We can get a tree species which is on their list, apart from the replacement of the copper beech. That is not on the list.
If,
however, we want to get a standard tree which is about 2 metres in height, of a replacement, same species, copper beech. It's probably in the order of about 100, I think it's about 105, 112 pounds. Planting of the tree is not to be done at this time of year. We will have to look at this for November. So we can still plant it within the Jubilee year. The other thing I'm looking at is quotes for a tree guard, so a nice metal tree guard, and maybe a plaque which also commemorates the Jubilee year planting of the tree. I'll get all those together nearer to the time when we need to purchase that tree and go from there.
Who pays for that lot?
So we can get a grant for some of it, and I'll cost it all out and work out where we can get grants for some of it. It was talked about that maybe the church might want to do something towards a small, maybe the parish council would donate a little bit towards it as well.
When that tree came down, and as it was cleared away, we noticed that there is a little copper beech seedling which we are nurturing and have marked, so nobody trims it off.
Is that going to be a threat to the fungus as well?
I don't know. We'll wait and see on that one. We won't be planting the new tree near the honey fungus.
I take it that the church would like it to be another copper beech.
I don't know that they mind particularly.
Okay, well, I'll get this together as
a lovely tree.
We will nurture the little seedling and see if that one comes up.
I think it was sort of a point of the village you could see, wasn't it?
It was, but we can't put that back there.
No,
because of the honey fungus.
We'll
find a nice spot for it.
I'll take some advice on the honey fungus and see if there's a species of tree which could be planted in that vicinity and go from there.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you, Councillor Bell.
Thank you.
The tennis club have contacted me.
Say what?
The tennis club have contacted me. One of the items that was on discussion last meeting was the tennis club and possible grant funding.
Yes.
Councillor Steer asked the question: how many of their members
reside
in the parish? And the answer is they're not entirely sure. They think it, but maybe because their membership report can't always include the address of their members.
So that'll be none then.
But they believe it to be about 10.
Really?
Yes. However, they stress that the benefit to the parish is not their membership, but the use of the club facilities by the parish and the wider use.
Seem to remember that was said, but rather less succinctly.
but that is the answer to Councillor Steer's question.
Thank you.
As far as I understand.
There are some local children using it on the Saturdays when they have a little training session of gather there. So there are some local children doing it.
Could I also point out that I think that the tennis club did allow the use of their toilets, toilets on Friday for the Jubilee.
Yes.
Which is the first time probably that they've been able to allow.
Well, it's
the
first time.
It's the first time
I've called them on that in 20 years.
Exactly. When they talk about their contribution to the parish, it would be nice to see that continue.
I'm sure it'll go from there. Yes, it was. The tennis club were extremely helpful with the Jubilee
celebrations, the use of the lavatories and their tables, and also offer the use of the car park as well, as it turns out. So, yes, it was very helpful, and it is a sign of future and further cooperation.
But they did come to support.
Certainly did, yes.
Excellent. Good. Anybody got any other matters arising from the minutes at all? No? reports? County Councillor Thomas?
Good evening, Chairman. I have sent Clark a brief generic report. I only have two generic county items to update you on tonight. One is information, if you know any people in the parish or wider area who are housing Ukrainian refugees, there is information from county about vaccination programmes and getting medical cards for the NHS. I would also say to councillors, if you do know of friends or acquaintances or colleagues who've taken people in, and you have any queries, please put them in touch with me. The head of communities at Devon County Council has been exceptionally responsive on this, personally, to members of the public who have queries, so I'd be very happy to act as a middleman in that regard if you do know anybody. The other thing, the other information given, which I'm hoping the clerk will disseminate, if that's okay, Ali, is that there's a 3-week workshop starting the week after next, on running online on Wednesday night, called Let's Talk Teenagers, which, if you have teenagers yourself, or if you have friends or family who do, I would heartily recommend it. It's an online course. It's not a course in the sense that it's not telling one how to be a parent, but it's offering advice and sort of meeting of minds, if you like, over issues like social media and exclusion and drug issues and all the sorts of social hot potatoes that one deals with as a parent of teenagers, and I would heartily recommend it on that. Those are the generic issues. On parish-specific issues, I will, of course, chase on Cobby Walk. You will recall that we are promised a schedule from the contractor, and the work will take place sometime between June and November. The fact that we've actually been promised a schedule now is, I would suggest, significant progress from last year, but we do still need to see that schedule. You can tell me, please, councillors, has the Brent Aidenwick Road, has the work been done?
No.
Okay, because I have been assured, and in fact I think I let Councillor Luscombe know, that we've been told the difference is that this is not a subsidence issue. The work has been booked in with the third-party contractors, and therefore it is programmed to take place. So
when?
Well, I think Councillor Powell, the point is, last time you could have had a 1-year birthday party for the length of time the roadworks were there while liability was established for who was going to pay for the subsidence. This is not one of those issues. This is a simple case that the County Council outsources all work. The work has been outsourced, much as Cobby Walk has a contractor and a contractor's schedule, so this work does as well. But in the sense that it is booked in to be done, it is booked in to be done. Lacked it again compared to. You are not the only parish, I have to say as well, North Yorkshire, who suffered from this. In my home parish, in Yampton, on the A379 between Yampton and Brixton, we held an 18-month birthday party, which we invited my county council predecessor to 3 years ago. So this is not. I'm afraid this is not a unique problem, but at least this one is not subsidence, so we should get a much swifter result than we did on the previous one. I only have one other thing, Chairman, acutely aware that the parish council would like me to talk about other parishes, although I have nothing specific around this area. I do note your agenda concerning the churchyard, and if it helps that conversation, in the parish of Yampton, where I am, until recently chairman of the parish council, we have had a churchyard run by the district council since 2000, when the parish graveyard closed. I held a meeting 3 weeks ago, with my district council hat on, with members of the South Downs District Council grass cutting team, who were excellent and agreed the schedule of cuts, of which I think they were agreeing 10 cuts per year, which meant that the churchyard was going to be looking spick and span at those important times it needed to look. We took the parish council approach that if it wasn't going to be enough, we could always consider adding additional cuts from our own parish precepts. But certainly my strong advice to you, having seen your agenda item, would be take the district council's statutory obligation, because it will save you money and it will give you somebody that you can fall on and shout at if it's not done to your satisfaction, as we did in our own parish.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
very much.
Chairman, could I just quickly ask, we are getting into the summer, where the tourism and caravans and traffic that come off the A38 increase probably tenfold, and we have a scheme for a new roundabout to be placed there at Kidford Cross. We were under the impression that work would have begun on this. Do we have any time scale on that, or is it going to happen at that very quiet moment of August?
Oh, of course it will.
Yeah.
Because for it not to happen in August would suggest a level of joined up thinking far higher than you or I would have come to expect from Council Highways.
Quite true.
I think the reality is.
Do you have any idea?
My gut feeling is that what you just predicted will come to pass.
Okay.
Partly because they will be quieter in terms of the contractor's availability, and that's usually one of the reasons for a project of this length, and partly because there will be the matrix on disruption to everyday workers, less potentially going to work, but the schools being off, less school buses and the like. That's usually the matrix they use. I suppose maybe it would be fair to say that the cabinet member for highways thinks that there are, that people who live here are less likely to be inconvenienced than holidaymakers, and therefore are less likely to not vote for him next time. I can only imagine.
Well, no, look, you inconvenience holidaymakers, you inconvenience all of us locals.
Well, of course you do. I'll be one of the people using those roads. I suppose the only saving grace is we are lucky in the sense that there is a decent alternative route.
Yeah.
That is not the case in all parishes. But no, if you ask me to predict, I would say you're spot on, I'm afraid. For those matrix reasons around school holidays, school buses and the like, not just to be flippant and unhealthy.
Heaven forbid.
Heaven forbid, indeed.
If I'd invite District Councillor Pennell to give us a report.
Thank you.
Thanks for getting to us.
That's all right. Well, I was excused early at West Buckfastley West, so I was able to follow in Councillor Thomas's tire tracks. I see these brought the bad, these worse weather here than there is there, I'm afraid. I think Peter has circulated a fairly comprehensive report, which, some of which seems to go back some time, so I'm not going to dwell on it. I think one of the things that's happened since the last meeting is that we have a new council chairman at Southampton, who is Lance Austin from Ivybridge, who presumably will hold the post for a year. That's the normal form. Ukrainian refugees are still coming in. I don't know if Dan knows more than me about the numbers, but it was over 60 last time. I think that's still going up. And probably the thing that excites you the most, or annoys you the most, which is the brown bin collections. Before we go on to the brown bins, I was just saying to Buckfastley West, I was asking them, it does seem to me that the black bins and the recycling bag collections do seem to have settled down reasonably. Is that a fair assumption for you?
Yeah, I think so.
Except that, of course, we don't have the boxes that we were... Certainly in Brent, we don't have the boxes we were promised, but we'll wait for those. For some people, that's a blessing. They prefer the bags. So, that being said, the brown bin collection is pretty much a disaster zone. I think on Saturday it was one out of six teams went out. So, five rounds weren't done. Well, if you do your maths, that means not only may you be done once a month, maybe done once every 6 or possibly once every 8 months.
Weeks.
Weeks, probably, yes. The council is trying to impress on contractors that if that is the case, that if you have been missed out for one or two or three collections, that you should get priority for that round the next time. So the only advice can be carry on putting out your brown bins, but if they're not collected on the appropriate day, take them back in because they won't be collected. They won't come round later to pick up missed bins because they simply don't have the staff. If they had the staff, they wouldn't be missing the bins in the first place. So this we may learn more tomorrow when the opposition members have called a special meeting of the council, of the full council. The request went in, I think it's 6 weeks ago now, and you can gauge the urgency with which it's been handled because we're meeting tomorrow. That's at 4 o'clock, and it will be streamed live on the council website if anybody wants to take a look. We have invited, the whole point was to invite FCC to come and explain what's going on and answer questions. It's interesting to note that this afternoon FCC issued a statement saying they were doing all they can and they had the right number of staff when the contract started, but they've lost them since and can't recruit at the moment. And they're working their best with the council to try and get things better. Council has also put out a statement saying they understand FCC's problems, but they're sort of banging the drum and wanting action, and again saying they're working closely with FCC. Now, whether FCC will arrive tomorrow, I don't know if you... I wasn't at the last full council meeting, I was in Scotland, so I don't know if there was any indication FCC are coming tomorrow.
There wasn't, but I won't be putting my mortgage on it.
Yeah. So we may be there sitting with an empty chair and a pot of lard or whatever.
Okay. Thank you very much.
I will stay for the planning bit, if that's all right, Chair.
Yeah, of course.
I'll slip away after that unless you need me. Are there any questions on...
Councillor Pannell, we've spoken several times in these meetings about the fact that the FCC obviously have a plan each week to do certain rounds and not out.
Yeah.
It would be deeply helpful if that could be communicated to the public in some way, because I was speaking to a pensioner who was driving up a slope to the end of her drive, week in, week out, not knowing it's going to
happen. I would love to be able to tell you that, but you have to have your bins out at 7 o'clock and we're not told until 10 o'clock.
Yeah. even if they could tell us, you know, say, this round will be done this week...
They don't know. They don't... They work on a... The brown bin collectors particularly are many of them are agency workers. They do not know until the day how many are going to turn up, which is why we, at about 10 o'clock-ish, get an email from the department telling us, oh, two rounds out of six or three rounds out of five are going out today. And as you have to have your brown bins out for 7 o'clock in the morning... Without prior warning, we cannot tell you, I'm afraid. I mean, that is one of the things what I will raise tomorrow.
May I speak on this? I know I'm not the distribution here.
But
can I just
point
to
please do?
The reason for tomorrow's meeting is for the opposition members to tell the ruling party at the Fulton House in no uncertain terms that this contract must end. It must end because this company have proved over 2 years to be incapable of running a bath, let alone this business. The most important thing that your district council does for you, save planning, which is terribly important as well, is collecting your rubbish. That's the most important thing the council does. If you were to go out and ask the people of North Yorkshire, what does the district council do? It collects your rubbish. Is that fair?
It is. Can I just ask a question? Is the exec member for waste?
The exec member for... You can absolutely ask, because you know the answer very well.
No, is he still...
He's still the exec member for waste, because... And the answer to that question, Councillor Steer, is Councillor Baldry, who was the leader of the Liberal Democrats at the District Council, was asked by the leader of the District Council to join her executive, whereupon she gave him the waste portfolio.
That was up to her.
It was up to her, entirely up to her gift.
Yeah.
But would you, in the interest of fairness, Councillor Steer, we should also point out that in the last council, when the vote was made to pass out the waste to FCC for the in-house service, Councillor Baldry voted against the
waste. I know he did, because I was there.
Yeah, anyway. But I think, to be fair...
It's interesting to note that he took the job on.
He did take the job on.
Yeah, but it's interesting to note that.
And it's interesting that he's still doing it. He's still doing it, because I think he's a very honourable man.
I've got
a
problem with Councillor Baldry.
Yeah, no, I know.
Can I just say that on that release that I, because I read it, got it through tonight before, that it also said that the council were taking legal advice regarding the contract.
We are. The council is certainly investigating many avenues at the moment, and there is talk of resolving this issue in the quite near future.
Chairman, the only question I'd ask is, it's all well and good saying that they've got to cancel this contract and everything else, but who's out there who can take the contract on?
Well, it was in-house before. We
own the lorries, you have any facilities, you have anything.
Well, we own the lorries and we own the depot. Yeah.
But isn't the problem with staff? The lack of staff. It's not lack of facilities.
No, it's lack of staff.
It's not lack of vehicles. It's lack of staff, isn't
it? But you have to ask yourself why the staff left in their droves.
I agree. And you've also got to ask yourself that FCC do West End and they also do many other... and loads of other unitaries. And they all seem to be, I believe...
There's a mixed picture, yeah. There is another authority in the north that terminated their contract.
Through you, Chairman, one of the suggestions why it's caused such significant problems is that when the round review that you'll be aware of, when the round review was put together, there was a certain degree of logic employed on the basis that there are two depots. There is the recycling depot at Ivybridge, and there is the waste depot over at the quarry. I think it's
Tor Quarry.
So the thinking was we would do a round. There would be a round review done, and all the drivers who would do to one, and all the drivers would do to the other, and so the rounds would be split. The trouble is, the round review was actually done on a computer somewhere in the Midlands. So you know, the chat from FCC is all seriousness. Never actually, there was no operational structure or scoping or anything else. So it was proposed that a round involving one of the large lorries would come down some of the lanes in North Hewish, for example, where it simply could not fit. So that wouldn't work. The problem a lot of the time has been that sort of large company ethos. It hasn't been, them wanting to get it wrong in that regard. It's just been incompetence, I would argue. Which is why I'd like to see it come back in house, because if it's local people doing it, local people know these areas because they live there.
Yeah, the argument against, I mean, there are arguments for privatisation, obviously. It ostensibly would save the council money because you're going to be contracting out, you're not going to have to be paying the pensions of the staff, etc. But of course, the flip side of that is that you're losing the loyalty of people in some cases who've worked for council 20 or 30 years and have a different sense of loyalty and feel they're being treated differently by the new contractors compared with the council. So, I mean, who's to say if it came back in council, maybe some of that would be restored? I don't know.
It'll be interesting to see what happens as a result of this meeting and
yes,
see who will catch up next time.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Can I just ask you something completely different? Ooh. I wondered why Shipley Bridge car park
yes.
is suddenly a paid car park with no bays, nothing for disabled at all.
I don't know about the disabled issue. If there is an issue with that, I can ask. It's not actually, Councillor Thomas is your better person because he's on the National Park Authority. But I can tell you the background to it. It was free, as you know. One of the issues was the public toilet. South Brent already pays for two sets of public toilets in Brent. It simply can't afford to run a third set of public toilets in Brent because very few, I don't know if there are any other parish councils in the South Hams that run more than one set, if any at all, sets of toilets. And it was felt it was essential that facility should be kept open. And if that's going to happen, it's going to have to be paid for somehow. The National Park entered into negotiations with the Lakes and Rivers Trust, and as a result of that, is it the right name?
I think so.
Yeah,
and they're the body that looked after the car park.
The Lakes and Rivers Trust have taken out, I think, a lease on the land. They, with the park's blessing, have brought in the charges, which I think are in line with their charges elsewhere, which is it £2 or half a day and.
£4
for a whole day.
I would actually say it's even quite difficult. There is nothing at the beginning of the car park to say this is a paid car park.
Right.
You just have, and especially if you park, you go around the lane rather than cutting through by the toilets.
Yeah.
You have no idea that there's a parking meter there. And I do feel that it should.
Those are issues that perhaps.
I'm very happy for you to come through me. Formally on email again, and I will put my other hat on, my National Park hat on, and pass that on. I've got a meeting on Friday, in fact. So
copy in myself, and I give it to my wife, who's also a member of the authority.
Right.
But she was obviously involved in the negotiations to do this. I'm distressed to hear that there's no provision for disabled.
There are no bays there at all. It's still just
I think that's one issue that should be taken up.
And there's nothing at the beginning to say this is a paid car park.
Yeah.
So
if you make those points and send it to Dan Anthony, and to Peter as well, because Peter's on the National Park Authority as well, send it to the three of us.
Absolutely.
The three of them can get together and bend somebody's ear, I hope.
Councillor Pennell, just to finish your conversation there, the Lakes and Rivers Trust have taken out a lease on the land.
I don't know if it's a national park or South West Water.
Right, within the lease they've got to maintain the toilets.
Yes.
Right, so they've taken out.
That was the whole intention. That was the whole purpose.
So the responsibility.
Let me just say that would be impressive. That I'm not on the National Park Authority, so I've not been directly involved.
No, but
this is my understanding.
Yeah. Okay. So they take on the lease from the car park and the toilets.
The whole purpose of doing this was to keep the toilets open.
Yeah.
And I've learned very recently that they're going to be able to install, or the parish is going to be able to install, a solar-powered defibrillator.
Okay.
Which is really good.
It'd be useful for the people who have disabled parking.
Yeah.
And they park anyway.
They can't because they
put in boulders along to, because obviously they knew what would happen if they didn't, that everybody would park on the lanes leading up to the car park and block the roads as they do elsewhere. So they bouldered it to stop people parking on the verges before you get to the car park itself.
I visit that car park regularly on foot, I'm happy to say, and I was speaking to the owners of the refreshment van there, and putting the boulders to block the informal parking that has been there for many, many years, has been used for many years, is causing problems with capacity in that car park.
Mm-hmm.
And regarding the lack of signage for the parking, I understand that after the parking meter has been put in, but the monitoring of it and the actual enforcement of it is due to follow at a later date. Which is possibly one of the reasons why the signage is not yet complete. But what I would say is that Councillor Thomas, from the National Park point of view, they were reporting that although the site has been allocated a Ringo or similar number,
you'll be lucky.
And they have watched endless people trying to use that facility, but there's no mobile telephone.
The only way they'd be able to do that would be as the district council has done over at places like Bigbury. Where you have the local.
And it collapses and it doesn't. Work,
It does work.
Well, sometimes.
When it works. Well, I worked for me last week, anyway, I'll take the point. But the point is, you can search for a local network, can't you? You get onto Ringo that way. That's the only way around it. But to do that, you have to provide that local network.
So it might be worth possibly making it clear to people that they're standing in the car park.
Well, and there's no power there, which makes it difficult to have
a machine.
The irony is, every now and again, before the National Park Development Management Committee comes applications for masts. Now, as it happens, without wishing to be contentious, I am a fan of mobile phone masts if it keeps people alive. Whereas many of my colleagues on the National Park Authority are not fans of masts because of the damage of the aesthetic beauty. But, you know, I tend to think about the last few lines of The Countryman's Prayer, and how the pheasant ever bred wrote the pay for one man dead, being probably more important in terms of masts. But there we go. So I will pass that on.
There is an issue, there's no power. I guess there's power at Bigbury, there's no power at Shipley.
No.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So that again is probably something for a future meeting.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to slide off if you don't mind.
Thank you very much. Nice to see you.
See you tomorrow.
Play park inspection. Who's got the balls of chalice?
Several times, as you can imagine, with the grandchildren on holiday last week. There was a loose plank on the steps that got to the slide. I spoke to Richard Cooper and it was put right for the Jubilee celebration, so that was a fine fact. Grass cut, wonderful.
Councillor, through the chair, I sent an email around the council about the play park. It does appear to be some form of internal hollowing on one of the supports to the play net.
Yeah.
Where there's been a loose bolt on the net, which seems to be stable. Richard Cooper and I were looking more closely at that whilst we were waiting for one of our meetings there, and the post that supports that net appears to be becoming hollow inside over quite a considerable length. So that's something that might need to be inspected. It's not visible from the outside, but if you tap along the post, you can quite clearly hear that it's becoming hollow. And When we removed the plug, there was sawdust within it, so I don't know whether it's being attacked by insects or rot or a combination of both. So that's something that might be worth looking at.
Is
there anything we can, sorry Chairman, is there anything we can put in there, as in a composite kind of glue or something in there to hold the bulk fixed?
There are two issues. One is the bulk pulling through the wood, but it's also, it appears to be hollow over several feet of the length of the support.
Yeah, okay.
So it may be the residual strength in
the support.
We need someone who understands the strength of timber better than I do, just by my background, to check whether it's still safe.
So we really need somebody qualified to have a look at it.
Unfortunately so.
Should the children be using that at the moment?
There's no evidence of excess movement, even with an adult swinging on it, as it were. So I don't think it's an imminent danger of collapse. And timber has significant residual strength, even with significant rotting. And it would have been overspecified anyway. But it's something that we need to have a look at sooner rather than later.
So we need to get somebody qualified to have a look at it. And presumably we need to have a proposal that we're prepared to spend the money.
Yeah, we need to find out what's going on.
Have you got any bright ideas as to come and have a look at it?
What about the people that built the...
Would it be a spare part? I know it sounds silly, but...
The question was also raised, what was the guarantee on it? It's been there less than 10 years so far.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the guarantee was on equipment at that time.
I'm afraid I don't know who even put the equipment in. So.
Oh.
Well, it must be in
the room. Well, if we can find out who did it, presumably we can go to them to see if they can maintain it, or if there should be a guarantee on it. Can I leave Councillor Cravat to see if he can chase that up and have a look next time?
Yeah, we'll try. I was off on the parish council at the time that was...
Mike, that was 10 minutes.
That sounds like an archive issue.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, very good, thank you. So we're back, we're now on the plane.
Yay!
Which suggests it's going to be a live issue. And now that we're in a position to actually have an opinion on it, have we got one of those bits of paper that encourages us to say whether we're for, against, or...
That's what I put in the...
Haven't you?
I report on that. You decide what you want to put in. And then I rub on and put a comment.
I think it'd be a good idea to invite anybody who has a view.
Mr. Chairman, before we go to planning, the answer to your question of who installed the play park was Sutcliffe Play.
So we go to them?
Yeah, I think so.
Chairman,
before we get on to this, I think we've got three planning applications to look at today. Can we, our clock, is that right? I want to go back to planning application 10. But no, it isn't. The planning application number. It is in relation to the provision of an agricultural storage building on the land at Back Butterford. So this is going back to the Part 6, 28-day notice under permitted development for the agricultural building that has been placed on the land where we are now going to be discussing the track.
All right.
I met with the... just happened by chance... to meet with the planning officer who was dealing with the track application, Miss Charlotte Howering. I think it's okay, your surname. Lovely lady, very nice. And she actually was the planning officer for the shed as well. We had serious conversation regarding the application of the shed, and it became quite apparent that there were errors and omissions in the original application. It has been advised to me to recommend to this parish council that we should write a letter to her and the district council planning committee in asking them to review that planning application, that Part 6 application, on the points following the areas that were stipulated within the application, because in the original documentation it stated that the land area was 22 acres. There was a further 4-acre field. As it turns out, measuring the field itself, it is under the 10 hectareage discipline, which needs to be used for a Part 6 application. There was also the 4 acres of land we do not believe were in their ownership, and that needs to be proved, and therefore there is a case for that application to be withdrawn, reviewed and looked at in more detail. That would provide, has been brought to our attention by members of the public, the interesting case where we have a track being recommended because for approval because there is a shed, and there was a shed which was recommended for approval because there was an existing track, which is a funny quasi kind of situation we are in. I will provide the clerk with an email and some details, but I wanted it to be mentioned in this meeting, and I wanted the councillors to.
But it's quite important because
to vote on it, really, whether they would support such a letter being put to them.
Which is quite important in a way, because any decisions about this track is predicated on the fact that the barn, shed, whatever it is you know, the planning application was granted in a bona fide fashion. Which, if that wasn't to be true, then the whole thing comes down a pack of cards, or something.
Quite true. There are other errors and omissions on that original application, but it is quite clear to see that the shed was placed up in that top right-hand corner, so it wouldn't be within the flooding zone, and other reasons for it, so it would meet the criteria of a Part 6 application. So I think it needs to be looked at. Just for records, the application is referenced 3808/21/AGR.
Well, I think in the parish council we agree that this should be reviewed, or we should be suggesting it could be reviewed. It's important in the context of anything we might say about the track, really.
Well, at the very least, it needs to be re-examined.
Yeah, I would propose that we do send a letter.
Can I just ask if you want to do that, do you want to share that you're doing that with Dickford, because obviously they've got an interest as well, and the previous other long letter of complaint I've been allowed to share with Dickford Parish Council councillors.
Well, I think that letter has to come from us.
Yeah, no, it comes from you, but just to let them.
I think this probably comes again when if we propose this and second it. Then I think we should also take it on board that we allow Dickford
so they can
the benefit of our
knowledge and
decision.
Deeper knowledge of it, because you've actually been there and met with planning to help them make their decision, because obviously it will be going for comment with them.
I mean, could I also suggest that as Councillor Bell is the gentleman that knows about this, he could orchestrate the email?
What a very good idea.
I think that's fine. Could I also ask that Councillor Panel picks this up as well, and actually goes and has a chat with Charlotte to discuss this matter and take it back to brass tacks to the original point, really.
Yeah, if you could copy me and Peter into the correspondence, please.
I mean, let's just put it out there. This is not us trying to say whether we are for or against this shed. This is us to say that the planning protocol and how it should be done, it should have been done in the right format and the right way, and it hasn't been. Unfortunately, a grant was given that no prior approval was needed, and now we're in the situation of a track being needing to be regularised by another enforcement and a full planning application. So I think we need to go back to the very beginning on this and try and get some facts sorted, really.
Can I have a proposal for this? Councillor Hunt, seconder. Councillor Steer, vote. Unanimous.
Thank you, Chairman.
Okay, thank you.
So that would have to be done before the 23rd, would it?
No, this will be done. This will be done now. That's something separate. Now we can carry on.
Sure. So turning our attention now to this much vaunted track, I invite councillors to chip in and say what they think. I mean, I think we've got an awful lot of evidence that we've been given. Obviously, we've had evidence of the objections from people in the locality. We've had suggestions that things have not been done as they should have been.
I found the objection from the South Ham Society very compelling, Mr. Chairman.
I think it was very articulate.
And I also further that in that objection, there was it was noted that no historic maps have been provided to show evidence of a track. I have checked the historic maps going back to the 1890s, and there is no evidence of any track on any map that I can find going back to the 1890s. It is simply absent. The idea that is there any form of reinstatement of an old track is frankly balderdash.
I must admit, I find Google maps almost impossible to interpret.
Well, that was the historical Urban Survey map.
Yeah.
Going back to the 1890s.
I know Google was back in the 19th century. I mean, we have a large body of evidence, and obviously it's been collected meticulously.
Chairman, I'll just put the track has been constructed, there has been enforcement, partly constructed, there has been an enforcement order on it, and now the application brought in front of us is to regularise the track to be in its site, within that field. They've used within their justification that it needs, it's there to service the barn. However, on the application for the barn, the agricultural storage building is to be sited on the land for the storage of hay produced on the land, fodder to feed the livestock, and for the storage of agricultural machinery and equipment that the applicant owns to manage the farm holding. And the applicant owns a tractor, telehandler, trailer topper, plough, harrow and hedge trimmer. All this needs to be stored undercover within an agricultural building so it doesn't rust. It does not say anything about that there needs to be access of any of this kind of scale that's been constructed through that on that field to the shed. If this machinery needs to be placed in that barn, that machinery should be perfectly suitable if it's farming that land to make hay to drive up and down the field as it is. Doesn't need a hard standing, doesn't need a hardened track area or anything like that.
There must be a bit of traffic to rent.
I do not see the need or the requirement for it to service the shed for the purpose that the shed was granted it.
And furthermore, Mr. Chairman, in the application they say that the track is being placed there to prevent damage to the land by agricultural equipment. I would like to know what benefit there is to digging up the land and putting a track on it in order to preserve it. That is a nonsense.
We have seen in other areas within our parish of other tracks being installed, and you'll know that other tracks are normally used with a tram surface and a stone surface, and then that is then allowed to grass over almost, if you like. This track built of this standard to this depth with this type of stone will not be grassing over in any time soon, and it will be a scar across that field. I don't know if we need to go on any further, but I propose that we
I think unless anybody has anything else to say, I think we can probably say we can make a decision on this. Are we against the application?
Very.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that what you want me to comment?
Yes, please.
On?
Yep. That's unanimous too.
I feel that we ought to maybe add to our objection maybe certain points that we brought up tonight.
Do you want to put it? Please refer to the letter that's.
Well, I think the letter is going to be the letter we've just agreed to doing. I think needs to be a separate thing, and
right,
this needs to be so.
I take it as we're all anti. There's no point in having something, because I mean, we've got lots of information, we're against it, there's no real need to waste any more time.
No, I agree.
Okay, thank you.
I mean, do we need to make it clear in our objection that we need to refer back to the fact that we believe that it is not necessary because we believe that the building shouldn't be there in the first place?
Yeah, I think we should also make the point the building should not be there in the first place.
Because is there not a risk that the argument...
No building, there should be no trap either. So.
Yeah, is there not a risk that otherwise, that simply the fact that
there is a building there,
access to the building could be used to justify that trap? Mm.
Well, we can add an addendum to our decision. Mm. And I mean, if you want to get that to me, obviously go under my... or whatever.
It's just to just log on to the portal and just put comments from the parish council.
Sure, okay.
That's all I have to do, is just put...
Fine, well, if you could put into some form of words our objection to the original building as well.
And you want to prove it before?
Not particularly. No, I think we're all in favour of that.
Okay.
Okay. So turning our attention to the other Butterford...
Can I ask how far apart these are?
About
two by a long way. It really confused me.
I thought we were talking about
another building on the same side.
What we've been talking about should be Butterford Mill rather than Butterford Farm.
Yeah. Because Butterford Mill is about 2 miles apart.
Yeah.
2 miles?
Yeah.
It just confused me with the barn on the second application.
It's a devil, I'd say. So, erection of 2-storey barn to reinstate lost 1802 barn on its original site, reinstate courtyards and so on. You've got anything to say? I mean, all I would say, from my point of view, is that you can't really see it from anywhere much.
That's right.
They've had historical reports from 1700 and they want to restore it to what it was in originally.
I mean,
they don't want to turn it into houses. He lives half a mile up a track on his own, and that's why he likes it.
You can't see it from anywhere much. Yeah. You can only see the house from one place, really.
I think it would be good to have it restored. And
would be.
Yeah.
I think a few years ago
they put in a planning, didn't they? Yes. So have it all restored and sort of columns and everything,
don't they? Because the courtyard at the moment is a bit sad.
Yes,
of course.
It's been sad for a long time. That'll be lovely.
So, I don't know quite... Well, we've got two.
One is listed building, one is planning permission, and one is listed building consent.
Yeah,
but the documents are the same for both.
The reason it's the same for them.
Yes.
Really.
It took me a long time to work out, from cross-reference documents, to work out what was going on there.
Chairman, I would propose we support it.
Did you win?
I propose that we support it, Chairman.
Okay.
Third?
Yeah. Councillor Gravatt. No. Right, that's planning, I think.
Is that just the... Oh, I see. Yes, yeah. The other one's too.
Yeah.
Right. Thank you for letting me listen to that. I'm not allowed, as you know, to say anything at this stage, as I'm on DM, but I have listened great care to what you've said.
Thank you.
I note your points. Thank you. And if you could copy me into the correspondence, that would be helpful. Mia. Thank you very much. I'll slip away if that's
all right.
Thank you. Have we any correspondence that we haven't had by email?
No.
Okay. Finance. I have something else for finance. Mr. Whittaker trusted me with the invoice. As you remember, we ran out of our budget for Mr. Whittaker last year, but he just did an exceptionally good job. And we decided that if any more jobs came up, he would just clear it with myself and anybody else, and we would sort of say go ahead on an ad hoc basis, because obviously it's out with what we precept for, and presumably this bill for £132 is just such. Are you happy for me to put that forward?
Yeah.
Thanks for that. Second, Councillor Bell.
I'd also point out, Chairman, that we have had some quite heavy showers in some and I don't know of any reports of flooding, so we must be doing
well. We've had some, but thankfully I was able to ask him to do it, and it's in ugly.
Yeah.
I asked him this morning at about 8 o'clock, and it was done by about 9:30, so there we are. I have to say, he's sharp as a razor. You've got to ask him, he's there. I'm most impressed. Anyway, just a personal thing.
It's probably going to have time to play, but I do apologise, but it affects finance. When we were obtained the key for the village hall land next to the play area, the key had jammed, and one of the trustees has cut off the lock and keep that gate closed. So it will need to be replaced, and I presume the council will need to approve funding for the purchase of a replacement lock.
Okay.
Might I suggest if we have a replacement padlock, we have one with a code?
That would be a very good idea.
Instead of one with a key. Yeah. And I think actually, if you want a substantial one, I did purchase one the other day, and it's about 38, 40 quid for a good solid one. That's something which probably someone needs to look into and quite.
And the chain, would you need?
£40,
say. That's
for quite a
substantial one. If you think you can get over a smaller one, so be it.
Very much indeed,
Charlie. Thank you. Obviously, we have our esteemed clerk's paid expenses. Can I propose it for that? Everybody, thank you. Take your pick.
Where's everybody?
We've got the balances. If you've got the agenda, they're in front of you. So I think we probably move on to highways. We were going to find out from highways about this, who's paying for the work down on the main road, isn't it, won't we?
Yep.
The interactive sign still isn't working. We have temporary prohibitions that we've got again on the agenda, so that happens when 20th of June. That's for patching, isn't it?
Yeah. 2 different weeks.
Do we know what that's actually for? Is that tar and chippings or is that patchwork?
You know?
It says patching.
It says patching.
There are patches marked off. Mr. Chairman, the Council may like to know that whilst I was delivering leaflets for the Jubilee event, I bumped into the speed monitoring van that was parked up on the hill above the new bridge.
It was that there?
And I spoke to the gentleman inside, who said that over the course of an hour, he had logged 8 vehicles exceeding the speed limit to the extent that they could be actioned. He described that as very disappointing for a village of this size.
Is that coming out?
Disappointing as in the end, but enough.
That was more than he was hoping to catch. On the hill down to Newbridge.
So was it coming
on the Trafford side of it?
Was it coming into Edgbeck?
Coming downhill as well.
Well, I'm not surprised. Right.
So
you
do
come
down
here at 40, 50 kilometres. Just for 30.
Okay. Notice board?
Yes, the notice board has been partially prepared. I apologise for the weather that gets me every time I put up proper varnish.
What's the matter with the weather?
I know, I'm sorry. Other things on my mind as well. So, yes, the notice board, I have the materials, it has been re glued, reassembled, it's halfway through being varnished at the moment, and once it's been re varnished, it will be restored to North Yorkshire.
Thank you very much for your valuable visits.
We were also going to look at the quote for the notice board as well, something that I sent around.
Yeah.
With thanks very much to the district councillors and the county councillors, I think. I sent it to everybody. What did people feel about those three quotes? Can you remember them?
I would say, Chairman, the recommended board, which was the that was your final protocol there, wasn't it, on that email? I can't remember.
No, I think the first...
the first one didn't come back to you or something, did it?
No, the first one was fine.
What was the date, Frankie?
The date was... Oh, gosh, I've got to go back now. I'll have to go back.
15th of May.
Oh, right, I've got to go find it now. Right, here we are. I've just got to read it myself. Gosh, I've lost it now.
Is it that one?
Quote on key right.
No, that's the agenda. Oh, sorry, once I go out of this. Yeah, the last one, that was it. Green Bond was the one that seemed the most thorough. It gave us exact measurements, and we could have a choice of lettering as well for anybody that wants to do
this. I think that was the best one.
Yeah. It was probably more expensive, but I think it was the one that was the more professional out of them.
Where did we get to in accessing funds?
We had, how long was it back?
900 pounds?
It was 900, wasn't it? Yeah, I've got it somewhere. Grant monies. Guy Pennell and Peter Smirk will give 200 each. Dan Thomas will give 5, so that's £900 towards the cost.
And the cost we've got down here is £1,266.56. Pence plus VAT of £253.31.
Except the VAT we'll have back anyway, won't we?
We will.
Yeah. So we need to find £366.56.
Are we happy with that?
Well, we need a good notice board, don't we?
I would
propose
that. Thank you. Yeah. I'll
second. As regards to the lettering, I know that Tristram's a little bit concerned about the lettering.
I don't know if I'm going to find a picky beggar.
But can I first of all ask them what sort of lettering we could have and then pass it to you so that you can choose which one you prefer?
Of course, it's possible. On their website, they have a lower price for putting a logo. So then maybe if we do the lettering of a logo, we can not do.
What do you mean, a logo?
Well,
I think it's important to have more Jewish council on it.
Parish
council.
But in other words, if we supply the lettering, North Jewish Parish Council ourselves, as a inverted commas logo, then it may shave £3 off the cost.
But I do feel that if it's actually engraved into that, I just think it would probably be a better option, because what we'd have to do then, we'd have a strip along the top.
I believe they engraved that or something similar. Perhaps that's something we could talk about outside the confines of this meeting.
Yeah, we'll have a chat together.
Yeah.
Well, shall we secure the funding first?
Sure.
Given that, we're going to chip in ourselves.
Yeah. Chairman, can I just clarify then? Are we talking about getting Green Barns to do the sign writing at a cost of £75.44? Tristan, are you suggesting a cheaper option?
Well, it's simply that the Green Barns have a different charge for engraving a logo into onto the same space. This charge is per letter for lettering, but they have a different charge for a logo. It may be that if we supply the lettering as a inverted commas logo, it would reduce the cost slightly.
Okay, so
this would be the maximum cost.
That's what I'm just trying to clarify.
Yeah. So Tristan and I will get together and we'll see, and contact the firm and everything and see what they say. Yeah.
Then, Chairman, I propose, or I would support us funding the difference from the, can we say,
£366.56. Yeah. Okay. So can you sort of action that?
Yeah, Tristan and I will.
Yeah, fine. So thank you.
Happy for me to apply for the money from...
Yes, please.
The councillors.
So, recruitment of parish clerk. Have we got any further reports?
Chairman sat in front of me.
I'm listening. I'm interested.
All I've been able to see is your left ear, so I... So you've been watching this in action then. So we basically.
I need to have a sit down and discuss it around the committee.
Sure.
Yeah.
Fine.
You've
seen how it all works, and I'm sure Ali would be more than happy to lead you through some of the complexities of it, should you so choose. So, I mean, that's the nearest thing we've got so far. So we welcome your input. Without wishing to pressurise you.
No, he's been doing it all. He's been doing it before.
Then we'll all chip in.
The rack.
So, Chairman, should we suggest that after the meeting we have a light-hearted conversation about this?
Fine. Venue to be arranged. Right. That sounds good. So that's potential. So we'll leave it at that, I think, for that moment. Church graveyard. This is a recent thing, obviously. I think most people know about this. This is to do with the parochial parish council no longer maintaining the church, the graveyards at Ditford and North Hewish, and inviting us if we want to take over the maintenance. Now, it has been pointed out to me that we haven't got precept for it. It's also been pointed out to me by esteemed district councillor and various others that actually if we choose not to pick this up, the district council has a statutory duty to maintain it. Now, from what Councillor Thomas says, they're capable of doing half a decent job. And although I shouldn't impose my own views on it, my thoughts are, as we haven't got any money, I don't know. Well,
Chairman, I'd support your views on that.
Yeah, I'd support it.
The thing is, the council have got a statutory.
Really think we should be dragooned into doing it. So I think probably we would respectfully decline.
Yeah.
Very good.
And say to them, right, on your watch, please. Okay. The next item is skimmer and brush cutter course is available. Doesn't say anything about doing it with a crutch, but there we go. Anybody know anything about this?
It's just something
that... A strimmer brush cutter course available.
It's just for volunteers only and parish councillors if they want to do a course.
Okay, oh good.
They're offering free courses on it.
Anybody up for this? Well, it's there if you need it. So items for future meetings. Presumably we will hear more about the planning. What else is there?
Have a notice board again if you'd like, Calvin.
What was that?
Have a notice board again if you'd like.
Yes, I do. We'll hopefully get some answers from our highways about the lights down here. Anything else?
Grant funding for the tennis club might be a useful item if we invite the tennis club to come back and ask if they want to ask about that. We'd like to inquire with the tennis club if they wish to address us again about that.
Yeah, bother me.
They realise that
we
can't give them.
So, next meeting date thereof?
I can't do the next first Tuesday of the month.
Okay. Well, we will happily fit in with you.
Because we're starting to get into time away.
I haven't looked to see what we've got church wise.
Well, do you want to liaise with Ali and then email us?
Do you want to choose a Tuesday?
I can't, because I do Ditford and Ringmore, that's my other Tuesdays in the month. It would have to be a different day of the week.
What's better, Monday or Wednesday?
Either
fine
for me.
Pick a Monday.
I think we're just checking for church. I think we've got one or two things going on.
Got quite a.
So the first Monday would be something like the 4th of July.
I've got personal family thing literally all week.
What about the following
The following week I am not back till the Tuesday. So I can either do Wednesday the 13th, Thursday.
I was saying, we don't have a meeting in August, so I mean, it could be later in July anyway, couldn't it?
And I could do.
Look, because I didn't know that we were looking at different dates.
Traditionally, we've never had a meeting in August. You see?
No, that's fine because I'm actually away
yeah.
On Scotland then. And then in September, I'm in France. At the beginning. Because I've had to fit in with my other work.
If you can do it. Yeah, so, after the 24th. Can you do something before the
24th?
Can you say the 13th? I could do the 13th, or I could possibly do the 26th.
No, can't do that one.
That's a Tuesday.
No, I know we can't.
Or by the Monday the 25th, or is that a bad one?
No, can't do that.
Okay.
There's a church
Could possibly do that one.
Yeah.
Sure. Anybody have any problem with going to the 13th of July?
Next
meeting?
It's all right.
That's fine.
Monday
the 13th.
Hmm?
Monday.
Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Oh, Wednesday. Yeah, that's fine.
Fine for me. Yeah,
fine.
13th then?
It's a fairly horrible chance I get home and find something in the diary for the church.
Email.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Chairman, can I just, if we're looking at diaries, August we won't be having a meeting,
no.
Right? And then should we just say, provisionally, should we look at the September meeting, provisionally?
Ali's away in France in September at some point.
At the first week in September.
Yeah, well, so we can push that further.
Should we look to the second week?
Yeah.
And try and get that agreed now so that when Christian does the notices, you can, on the parish council website or not, at least that everyone's aware now of the next three consecutive meetings.
Splendid. Thank you very much.
Thank you.